turn to the book of Revelation, if you would, please. And we will try to end possibly a little bit early today so that we can get all the shepherds in for the special service today. One of my favorite services of the year is Shepherd Sunday, and hope you get to know our shepherds, and many of our shepherds, well, I say many, several come on Sunday nights and Wednesdays, and they certainly are a blessing to our ministry here, and they are excited, believe me. All right, we have lesson number 27, and it may seem a little confusing. We did just start that last week, lesson 27, about the Archangel Michael, and then we also have lesson 28, the assisted remnant. And so both of those lessons are available, lesson number 27 and lesson number 28. So if you need those, raise your hand. And Brother Collins will be glad to get those to you. Anybody need those? The Bowmans here in the front. Anyone else? All right. We have folks, several folks still needing those. Thank you, Brother Collins. Sveltly moving down the aisle. All right. Amen. So lesson 27 and 28. We are on a section 5. Brother Collins, there were some hands up over here on the right toward the back. Several had their hands up, I think. Anyway, Revelation chapters 12 and 13 is our section 5. And I've entitled that The Appearance of Seven Key Characters. And so each lesson I've made for one of those key characters. So the first five lessons of this, a little shorter, the last two, obviously, as we deal with the Antichrist and the false prophet, those will be longer lessons. But these lessons, because there's not a lot said, are not real long, and lesson 27 is not real long. The Archangel Michael, there isn't a lot said. Revelation 12, 7, and 8, that's our memory verses. We probably will finish this lesson today. Well, maybe, depending on how fast the pastor goes. But let's go ahead and look at our memory verse, Revelation 12, 7, and 8, and we'll say the reference, the verses, and then the reference again, and begin. Revelation 12, 7 and 8. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Revelation 12, 7 and 8. And again, Revelation 12, 7 and 8. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Revelation 12, 7 and 8. Thank you, Father, for your word, and what a promise every word of it is to us. And we thank you that we have your promises we can trust in. And we do know the end of the story. We know that we are more than conquerors, and we rejoice over that as we see Satan's attack in our lives personally, in our church, in our nation. God, we see this attack, and yet we're rejoicing that we are more than conquerors. And so we pray that you would help us to just look into the future as we study Revelation and realize that it's a bright, bright future. It's going to be a tough time, and yet it's bright for us as the children of God. So please bless now our time in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, really, we gave you an introduction to this lesson 27, and just talking about Michael. He is an archangel called that, and very clear, and kind of ended with the idea that some would say that Gabriel is an archangel. Some would say that Michael is actually Jesus, and I don't necessarily, I'm not going to fight over that. I don't think it's something to fight over, but just because of some of the power that we see there. But I wanted to get into what the Bible says. Number one, his history of accomplishments. And verse 7, it says, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels. And so we recognize there is an angel named Michael, an archangel. And so we're going to look at his history. There's not a lot said about Michael. But in Daniel chapter 10, here's one of the stories that most of us are familiar with and we would think of when we think of Michael. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 13. The Bible says, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." And so a reference made to Daniel praying, and immediately this angel is sent to give Daniel his answer. But for 21 days, there's a battle with the Bible calls the prince of the kingdom of Persia. And when we talked about Daniel, we talked about demons who seem to have influence over the different leaders of countries, and I believe that is what this is referring to here. This demon that was the demon over or influencing the prince of the kingdom of Persia and the government of Persia, and that. So again, this is a battle, all right, and this is an idea of a battle. And this angel was a strong angel, but not obviously able to overcome this demon in Persia. And so for 21 days, and again, let's recognize the fact that here's an answer to prayer for that Daniel has prayed, and it's 21 days later that he gets the answer, which again is something we did talk about when we talked about the book of Daniel. And Daniel, in other words, Daniel prayed, Daniel was heard, the answer was sent, and yet Daniel didn't get it yet. Daniel has not received it yet. And so the angel with the answer is literally rescued by Michael. Michael comes to help. "Lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand." So Michael had to come and help him. And in my mind, I see this battle. I see demons fighting. I see the demons over Persia, the demonic influences that were influencing the government and the leadership there. And I see this battle raging, and this angel is trying to get through the lines to get the answer to Daniel. And 21 days, the whole time, what's Daniel doing? Well, he's still praying. That's why, folks, keep praying. Amen. Don't quit praying. Just keep praying. You say, "But I didn't get an answer." Well, but the answer may be on the way. Every time I read this passage, it encourages me to just keep praying and keep asking God, keep begging God. And so in this case, at least, we see Michael coming and helping so that the answer can get to Daniel. And so don't quit praying. Don't give up. You know, just keep praying. And God is more powerful than the devil. Always. He always will be more powerful than the devil. Don't give up. Don't give up. Again, we recognize that no is an answer. We recognize that wait is an answer. We recognize that yes is an answer. I mean, all these things are answers, but if something is worth praying for, it's worth keep praying for. And so I love that story. So here is one accomplishment of Michael and in his history. Jude 9 gives us another accomplishment. Jude 9. The Bible says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth..." Wait a minute, that's not Jude. That's 2 John. You can miss Jude if you're not careful. Wait a minute. Jude, there it is, Jude 9. "Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuke thee.'" He wasn't going to get in an argument with him. He just said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But the key thing here is he's disputing about the body of Moses. And so we have here Michael disputing about Moses' body. Now, we know that Moses was raised again, obviously, during the Transfiguration. We see Moses and Elijah. And so is that what this is about? Could be. Could very well be. The Bible does not say. We just know there is a dispute about the body of Moses. And this is a battle, obviously, between Michael contending with the devil. And, you know, in our minds, we see the dead body of Moses, and one's got a leg and the other one's got an arm, and but that's not necessarily what happened. Obviously, because Moses is in the transfiguration, we have to recognize that Michael won this dispute. And obviously, God, you know, God's will is always done. Now, some would say this is why Moses should be considered as one of the two witnesses in Revelation. And again, you know, we talk about that. We talk about Enoch and Elijah, talk about Moses and Elijah. And the Bible doesn't say who the two witnesses are. But this is one of the arguments, one of the reasons why some would say that. Again, the body of Moses, definitely, no doubt about it, the transfiguration. And so Michael won. It's interesting in this verse, the Bible says that durst not bring against him a railing accusation. Instead of telling the devil off and just railing on him and all of that, he simply says, "The Lord rebuke thee." And, you know, sometimes that is by far the best way to deal with the devil. Just, you know, "I don't want to talk to you. I'd have nothing to do with you. I claim the blood of Jesus Christ, and the Lord rebuke thee. Get away from me." You know, get thee hence. And just a great verse in dealing with Michael. So again, his history of accomplishments, we see him as a powerful. He's an archangel. We see him doing very, very, you know, an example of being very strong. And so again, it should be no shock that here in Revelation 12, we come back to verse 7, and there's war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Shouldn't be a shock to us. Michael's history is a history of victory. Helps the angel in the book of Daniel to get the message to the answer to prayer to Daniel. Helps as far as disputing about the body of Moses, wins that. And so again, Michael is very key for Israel, very key for God's people. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, the whole idea is he is a good choice. He is an archangel, and he is very, very powerful. So that's the history. Number two is his host of angels. And again, I told you this is a short lesson, so you have lots of room as opposed to some of our lessons where in your notes everything's crowded together. You should have lots of room. Number two, his host of angels. There's a host of angels here. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels. Okay, so you have all of the angels that were created, and Michael would have how many on his team? I shouldn't say how many. What percentage? Do what? All the angels, but of all the angels that were ever created, he would have how many with him?
Two-thirds.
Two-thirds, okay. And that's what I was looking for. And we don't call them angels. We call the other third, we don't call them angels. We call them demons because they followed Satan. But so he has his host of angels, and we don't know how many as far as this battle and everything. But so Michael, the Bible says, and his angels, and the Bible says the dragon fought and his angels. All right? So automatically we recognize the numbers difference, two-thirds versus one-third. And we're talking thousands and thousands and thousands, but two-thirds versus one-third. Two-thirds are with Michael, one-third with Satan, and there is war. I think this refers to Daniel 12 in verse 1. Go back there. Daniel 12, again, prophecy from the book of Daniel, which we studied. And I love this verse. I think about it often. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that should be found written in the book. And he stands up. And again, timing, this is not, here in verse 7 of Revelation 12, we're not looking at a timeline of any kind. We're not trying to do that. But obviously, there is a point where Michael stands up and he leads the angels to defend God's people. And obviously, verse 7 is certainly a part of this. And we recognize that angels and demons have an ongoing battle. It is going on right now. It is going on right in here. It's going on downstairs. It's going on in Sunday school area. It's going on people getting ready to get in their cars and come to the Shepherd's Program. It's going on with that visitor that God has already spoken to their heart, and they're already thinking about the things of the Lord. Maybe somebody knocked on their door during the week to tell them about Jesus. Maybe somebody left them a gospel tract. At any rate, there's a battle for them, and there's battles going on. And so, again, it is not something that we would ever take lightly. It is a huge battle. In this battle, the devil, the Bible says, and prevailed not. The dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. They had no more place in heaven. So his host of angels, Michael's host of angels with Michael, defeats the dragon and his demons, his angels. And now this is a major, major battle. Remember, the devil has been coming and going into heaven. He has been coming and going as the accuser. Verse 9, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And he had access to make those accusations. He had access to do the accusing. God with Job said, consider my servant Job. He allowed Satan to do terrible things and to bring things into Job's life. And I believe he allows that in our lives as well. God does. And Satan is the accuser, accusing, accusing, accusing. Jesus is the defense attorney saying, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. And we are not guilty because of us. We are not guilty because of his blood. And we stand redeemed. We stand not guilty. We stand justified. Number three, his hell-bound adversary. So we've seen his history. We've seen his host of angels. And number three, his hell-bound adversary is, of course, the dragon. It has been a battle. It has been going on since the book of Genesis, and God put enmity between man and the serpent, and it's been going on. It's a battle, and it has been a battle. Now, again, this isn't the end, but we're getting close to the end. Amen. And we are getting. I think we're getting close to the end. I really do. Don't know that, but I think so. And his hell-bound adversary. We've already looked at the dragon, but he is that old serpent called the devil and Satan. No way to misinterpret that. No way to, I'm not sure that's what. No, that is exactly who he is. And he and his angels are cast out. And verse 10 says they are cast down. And then the woe, which we've talked about already. Woe, verse 12, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. When this takes place, it's just a short time. There's not a lot of time left. I believe, again, this is all happening within the last 3.5 years. Israel, the references made to Israel here, we do have the time, the times, and the half a time. Again, pointing out that 3.5 years and other things we talked about. But But again, don't know exactly when, simply that that's kind of what I think. And Satan is cast down. Now again, what all does that mean? He's already the prince of the power of the air, the Bible says, and he already has great influence. Well, his time is short. You take a wounded animal, you take an animal that is wounded, and they're struggling in that. They're very, very dangerous. And Satan, obviously, he's already dangerous. He's as a roaring lion, the Bible says. But Satan, who is referred to as the anointed cherub, versus Michael, the archangel, and Satan is cast down and cast out of that access that he once had. And in Daniel, the Bible talks about the prince of Persia. The Bible then talks about the prince of Grecia, which again, we have already talked about some. Again, I believe this is the demonic influence over government officials, and certainly that invisible war has gone on and on and on, and it goes on in our world today. And that invisible war is always going on. It should not shock us to come to passages like this, understanding this is, oh, well, this is just for Revelation and the end times. No, this is for today. This is going on now. The battle for you, the battle for souls of men, the battle is going on. It rages all around us. It is, however, a battle that is an invisible battle. And this battle right here, I believe, is the beginning of the end. And verse 10, it says, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God." Folks, we do win this thing. Amen. I mean, we do win this war that has been going on. We win because Jesus conquered death. We win because our sins are forgiven. We win because we have eternal life. We win because we're going to heaven. And so again, the end is near. And by the way, the dragon goes to hell, and he is cast into a lake of fire. And again, this is what our Bible tells us. We can look around and say, it just looks like we're losing ground. It may look that way, but we win. If you watched if you watch sporting things, you've watched comebacks and everything else, and it may look real bad, but it's not real bad. God's people should rejoice. We come to the month of November, which is our month of Thanksgiving for our theme of our church, and we're finishing up with missions, and we're going to talk about Thanksgiving. We have everything to thank God for. I don't care what's going on. I don't care how bad it looks. Don't care what's going on in the government. I mean, we should pray. We should vote. We should do right. We should be salt. We should be a shining light in our government and in our world. But I'm telling you, folks, one thing we have got to be is thankful. Thankful, because even if our bodies are destroyed, Job said it, if worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. We win. Praise God, we win. And so that finishes off this lesson. And I told you I wanted to end a little bit early because of the shepherds coming up. But we move to lesson number 28. And we're going to talk about the assisted remnant. And there are saved people during the tribulation who God is, he refers to as the remnant, and the 144,000 have gone out. They've been preaching and winning souls to Christ. Of course, the witnesses preached, and there's going to be people getting saved. Again, people who did not reject the Lord before the rapture took place, people are going to be getting saved, and I love the fact that, and by the way, Revelation 12:17, the memory verse there, the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Again, if you need lesson 28, those are available. Number one is the description of the remnant, and we'll talk about that next week. Number two, the decision of the remnant, and then number three, the destiny of the remnant. It is a short lesson again, and so we will cover that. And we, class, we're not going to go ahead and take an offering, so because we're running out of time, because I want to get the shepherds in.